News Network.
Identity politics is poisoning the American well of freedom.
There is an antidote.
It's right here at TNN.
Truth News Network.
For today's chapter, here's Dan Newman.
And let's get right to it. Starting our week, our work week. And we're looking closely at American foreign policy under this president. According to some, according to many, President Trump's foreign policy is really, really bad stuff. Whether it's the trade dispute with China, Trump's pushing North Korea to get rid of its nukes, or his demands that NATO members ante up defense spending to bear more of the NATO burden, mainstream media march in step, shouting from the rooftops how much danger the Trump foreign policy brings to the United States needlessly, and how hated we are around the world now, even by our allies. In case they, the media, haven't noticed, we're not at war, and there's not one pending. Our NATO buddies have all promised to pay more of their obligations, and some have already started paying more. Many leaders of foreign countries around the world have begun to publicly declare their respect for President Trump, and in several cases have even complimented him on the American foreign policies he has made. So how bad or how good is the Trump foreign policy so far? Instead of just railing or screaming and crying, the sky is falling, let's take a look at facts. And we don't have to look far to find facts. Numerous signs are popping up that the impact of Trump's policies is far from the disastrous scenario the media predict. By wielding America's power instead of apologizing for it, I wonder who did that. And by keeping his focus on jobs and national security, Trump is making progress in fixing the ruinous status quo that he inherited. America First, it turns out, is more than just a slogan. It is a roadmap to reshaping America's relationship with friend and foe alike, and he's doing it, beginning with China. Let's start right there. Despite press accusations that Trump risked a global recession with tariffs on Chinese imports, reports just in the past few days are there is growing crippling criticism among the Chinese over how President Xi Jinping is handling Donald Trump. One professor in China, now the fact that a professor would go public and say something negative about Chinese policy is really wild in itself. But this professor published an essay citing rising anxiety and a degree of panic, his words, about Xi's attitude toward the president and his traditional totalitarian way he is using to handle the situation. According to the New York Times and CNBC, and I cringe when I have to quote either one of those as sources, China's leaders should seriously consider Trump's push for a balanced trading system. Why the sudden change in trade and trade tariffs with the U.S.? China's leadership is second-guessing their aggressive stance on trade with the U.S., thinking that Xi may be overestimating the clout China has in trade with us. I've heard this for years, too. I bet you've heard it, too, from news sources, from politicians. We've heard that China is very shortly going to surpass the U.S., as boasting the largest economy on earth. Probably have heard that eight years, and I think it comes primarily from the size of their population. It's staggeringly dwarfing of ours in the United States and growing exponentially. But it doesn't appear likely. It hadn't happened. At least according to current economic trends in both countries, it probably won't happen. That's China. How about Turkey? Turkey's a NATO ally. I didn't even realize that until President Trump made his first trip to NATO. Turkey's self-proclaimed leader of the Muslim world, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, decided that he was going to go toe-to-toe with the president by seizing American pastor Andrew Brunson and refusing to release him. Currently, they have let Brunson out of jail, but they've got him in house arrest, and there are 24/7, constantly, 12 armed Turkish guards that surround Brunson's house to make sure he doesn't get out and nobody else gets in. Trump's response to all this, instead of coming up with some kind of deal that we give them something, kind of like, you know, $140 billion in cash, his response is sanctions on two Turkish cabinet members, and he doubled the tariffs on steel and aluminum, which has sent panic through currency markets. Listen to this. The Turkish lira lost 13% of its value against the dollar in just one day, and inflation stands at an estimated 85%. How did Erdogan respond? Well, he's a real leader, folks. He urged Turks to exchange gold and other valuables for the lira in hopes of stopping the currency rout. And the Turkish lira continues to plummet in value. As of a few minutes before the writing of the story today, the lira was trading at the rate of 6 liras to 1 U.S. dollar. In 1991, folks, it was trading 1 to 1. Holders of Turkey's debt are putting great pressure on Erdogan by demanding payment on that debt. And interest rates on that debt are skyrocketing, 85%. 85% in inflation right now in Turkey. And we can't talk about American foreign policy without throwing Iran into the loop. Time magazine's scare claim that the withdrawal from the Iran deal would bring instant worldwide upheaval and U.S. destruction. And in the president's words, Time magazine's words are fake news. Trump's withdrawal from the nuclear accord and the imposition of sanctions aimed at the government and certain industries are adding to the economic pressure on the mullahs in Iran. Demonstrations and strikes have focused on inflation, water shortages, food shortages, and unbelievable corruption in the country. You know how we know all this? The government's not telling us, of course. Social media shows everything these days. They have Facebook over there, and they have Twitter, believe it or not. Some protesters there criticize Iran's involvement in Syria and its support of Hamas in Gaza while ignoring Iranian citizens and the horrible economic conditions at home. There could even be a civil war in Iran. They're not that far from that. Even before the sanctions that the U.S. put on them, the Iranian rial, that's their currency, lost 80% of its value against the U.S. dollar. And Forbes magazine places Iran's inflation rate above 200%. Wow. Remember when President Obama lifted the sanctions on Iran? When Trump re-levied those sanctions, he said these are just the first steps and that a bigger round starts in November. Quote, anyone doing business with Iran will not be doing business with the United States, he wrote. I am asking for world peace, nothing less, said the president. He made clear that he wants to talk to Iran's leaders about a new nuclear deal. Those deep and crippling sanctions, along with the political upheaval with demonstrations and even some violence there, are putting severe pressure on the mullahs to come to the table. And you know what? Those U.S. sanctions on Iran have had results from other countries. Some European nations that rushed to do business with Iran after the nuclear deal was signed, they're pulling out because they fear being blacklisted by the U.S. Treasury. The Atlantic magazine said this when comparing Trump's treatment of Iran to that of North Korea. Saber-rattling followed by symmetry. U.S. media went crazy when the president started talking to NATO. And there's a whole lot of stuff going on there. We're going to look at that with some final thoughts. You don't want to miss it. Sit tight. That's next right here at the Truth News Network.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks! Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry! Save the children! Save them!
Wait.
Stay back! I've got mace!
Ow! They're one of my eyes!
We're moving!
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my HealthMart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. And they can help you, too. My pharmacist cares about my health and the things I love, whatever that might be.
HealthMart, caring for you and about you. Visit HealthMart.com for the locally owned pharmacy near you.
Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media?
Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org.
Back to Truth News Network. Dan Newman here. Before we get back into this, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. Our readership and listenership is growing exponentially, and it's because you're listening, and obviously you're telling other people about it. As you know, we don't market. We don't do any kind of advertising. We don't do ads on our website. We don't run ads asking you to do something or buy something. And your email address, if you ever log in on the front page to make sure that you get a link when we post a new story or podcast, nobody else sees it. It stays right here. We'll never use it to sell you anything, and we'll never let anybody have anybody's email address off that list. We're committed to you, and you obviously are committed to us, and I thank you today for doing that. Let's get right back to it. You remember this? The U.S. media went nuts when the president made his first harsh demands on fellow NATO members regarding their lack of financial commitment to their stated obligations to be a NATO member. Well, the media made the same charges against President Reagan. You may not remember that, but took similar actions in calling out NATO members. And then, of course, Reagan was called a champion of foreign policy at the end of his second term in office. Let's face some facts. Only a handful of the other 28 members of NATO meet the agreed goal of spending 2% of their GDP on defense. Several European NATO leaders publicly took Trump to task for his demands. But he didn't stop. I mean, after all, if you make an agreement to do something, to be a part of an alliance that is actually going to be a group of foreign countries that if you're attacked, they're going to go to war on your behalf. You make a commitment that you're going to pay a certain percentage, 2% of your gross domestic product, in your own country's defense apparatus, so that if something like that happens, you're going to be able to do your fair share. And then for years and years and years, you don't do it. And it's not just one country. It's not just two. I mean, it's only a couple of them over there that have been paying their fair share. Eventually, what has happened now because of the president, most of the countries have recommitted to get to their fair share. And as mainstream reporters do, they ignored the fact that his criticism is bearing fruit. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg credited Trump for pushing a clear message that members need to speed up defense hikes. And he said Trump's effort led to higher spending in the last 12 months. They're crediting Trump for an estimated $30 billion increase during Trump's first year in office in NATO country joint spending on defense. And of course, the news media missed it. Well, let's look at U.S. policy, foreign policy abroad at large. One unidentified European Union ambassador told a London newspaper that Trump is, quote, easier to negotiate with than British Prime Minister Theresa May because Trump is focused on what he wants. You might remember that the British Prime Minister is under serious fire in her country for handling of Brexit. She mishandled it. and that the agreed-to plan may totally fall apart. That official, same official, said, if this had been a rational discussion like we have with Trump on cars, tariffs, how about that? This ambassador said that a deal might be finished by now if the UK handled Brexit same way President Trump handles tariffs regarding import of British cars to the United States. Things are actually getting better between the U.S. and Mexico, too. I know that's hard to believe. The previous Mexican president was obstinate. Well, the new Mexican president even said he hopes he can make things better in dealing with President Trump and that he expects agreement will be worked out on renegotiating NAFTA, which they're deep into those renegotiations now between Canada, the United States, and Mexico, and also Mexican cooperation on border security. That's the new president of Mexico. Things got even rosier between the people of Israel, Jewish people from all around the globe, and the United States when President Trump announced and then followed through on the move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. Nobody may say this but me, but in doing so, President Trump sent a message to Arabs who, in large part because of the dishonesty of the previous administration, realized this president really will do what he says he is going to do. Many previous presidents here announced the need to move the embassy to Jerusalem, and they even committed they were going to do so. Obviously, nobody ever followed through on that, except Donald Trump. There are many countries whose leaders are watching the U.S. midterm elections coming up in just a couple of months, knowing that if the balance of power in Congress shifts to Democrats, it will certainly affect the foreign policy of the Trump administration. I'll simply say this in addressing that. In the past, that was probably true. But America's never had a president quite like this one. Even if Democrats take back the House, folks, I doubt President Trump will quietly fade away into the sunset regarding any of his style and procedures of governing. I feel strongly he will continue to implement his policies on every front, especially foreign policies, that he has already successfully implemented and that are working for the United States in demonstrative fashion right now. He's probably heard this in Queens growing up, and I'm pretty sure he believes it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And almost all of his foreign policy is working pretty well. So in summarizing today, so the media are going to operate just like they operate today. That isn't going to change. Can you imagine how on every Monday morning, think about this, and pretty much for every other morning of the week, newspaper and magazine editors, directors and producers of television morning talk shows and even the afternoon and evening talk shows, and even political leaders of both parties make certain their iPhones are charged and ready and alive at 6 a.m. Eastern time. Why is that? Why that time of day? That's when President Trump usually distributes his first tweet of the day. And of course, there are always many more that follow shortly after that. Why are his tweets in the time of day that he starts sending them out so important? You may not have thought about this, but President Trump sets every morning from his Twitter account what the news headlines and hot stories of the day are going to be. It's uncanny, it's unprecedented, and it's unbelievable that this business tycoon and TV series star sets the news tone for the nation and the world from his Twitter account every morning. Think about it. What would Morning Joe and Chris Cuomo and Fox and Friends have to talk about if it wasn't the Trump news of the day topic? Don't think that his few early morning tweets are not enough fodder for them to fill 3 hours of airtime. There's usually plenty of ammo that he tweets about. But in the unlikely event that he doesn't feed the news narrative with enough early morning, there's always plenty left over from the day before to stoke the fires of liberalism, fake news, and even some real news every morning. And President Trump is just getting going. Mainstream media and even many Republicans thought with a Russia investigation, horrible and negative, oppressive, nonstop news pounding, and the continual onslaught by Democrats against any and all of his proposed legislation and his appointments, he would tire and simply throw in the towel. Surely no billionaire needs the constant stress and hatred that he's facing 24/7. But you know what? The real estate tycoon from Queens has educated the mainstream media and the GOP establishment crowd. He ain't giving up. And their constant allegations, lies, misrepresentations serve to only further galvanize his commitment to stay in the White House, working for you and me to make America great again. He's promised to do that. And you know what? Everything he's told us he's going to do, he's either done it or it's in process. You may not like his messaging. You may not like his language. I don't. A bunch of it, I think he could message differently. You may not like his tweets. You may even hate some of his policies. But this one thing is absolute. What real Americans cannot do with any honesty is say he's not being successful so far than on more fronts than almost all Americans thought he could even do. And you know what? The most exciting and refreshing thing about his work processes at the White House is he really is just getting started. It's going to be interesting to see how this next few months plays out, especially with the midterm elections coming up. It's actually looking pretty good for the Republican Party. Hey, thanks once again for joining us here every day. I really appreciate you giving us the time. You have a great day, and we'll be back tomorrow with more Truth News.
Just because you think something's right doesn't mean it's right. Just because you think something's wrong doesn't mean it's wrong. But always get the truth about right and wrong here at TNN, the Truth News Network.